more so than this morning. We're thankful. I'm thankful to be able to serve God in this way as we've been given the opportunity, and I'm excited to share a little bit with you all what I've been studying and learning over the last week and try to put it in the way of a message. And thank you, Brother Johnny, for the opening message of your blessing. May we take seriously what our testimony does to the nations around us and trust in the Lord and remain faithful to Him, that we can be a good testimony for His sake. May God give us the strength to be a blessing to be around us with our testimony. last week, I shared an opening message, and I shared how I was gonna talk a little bit about Jacob and Esau, and then I ended up changing the topic and ended up going to, I spoke about it was a different message altogether. And, being like-minded. But this evening, I want to share about Jacob and Esau. And may God help us to be attentive when listening to what God has to share, and may He give me the grace and strength to share. Before I start into the message, I'd like to just ask a question. I'd like to give a little bit of an illustration. And I will ask a question: who likes a good deal? Everybody likes a good deal. Same here. Like a good deal. We all like a good deal. It was 3 years ago when Samantha and I, we bought ourselves a van that was in pretty rough shape, and we got it for a cheap price, but we figured if we could drive that van for 3 years, or at least 3 years, and it would help us in our personal finances just to get something a little bit lower end, and our goal was to now drive it until the end of the year, and then we were going to replace it with a new one. And about 2 months ago, we spent a few thousand, or just over $1,000 into it to try to get it fixed to last one more year. And then just a week ago, just over the last week, Samantha came home and the van had been stuttering again. She hardly made it home. And I figured I'd go take it for a ride, and then I jumped in and I didn't even make it out of the garage. And we put the van back in, and I wasn't going to bring it to the mechanic shop again. And so now we were going to go get a new van. And so we did. But when we decided to get a new van, we wanted a good deal. And when shopping for vehicles, I like to go on a website called Car Guru. It doesn't sound like a nice website, but on this website, it will show you all the vehicles and that all the dealers are selling, and it will just give you a non-biased opinion if it's a good deal, if it's a fair deal, if it's a bad deal, or if it's a great deal. It will just tell you, this is the market value of this type of vehicle with these types of kilometers, and this is the deal. And we found a great deal. We found a great deal. It was a 2018, and it was in Amherstburg. It wasn't far away. We did a 250-kilometer radius, and so I went to Amherstburg. I gave them a call first, and I went there. I looked at it, and I bargained with them a little bit, and they let us have it for even cheaper yet. And so we walked away happy, knowing that we had a great deal. Now, you can also make bad deals, but I just gave you a physical picture of what a good deal is, but we can also make good deals in our spiritual. We can sow to the Spirit and reap eternal life. That's a great deal. That's more than that. That doesn't even seem like a fair deal, but that's more than a great deal. But yet God has promised that if we sow to the Spirit, if we walk in the ways of God, the ways that He has laid out for us, then in return, He will give us eternal blessing. He has promised the promised land, a life filled with an eternal life filled with peace and joy in our glorified bodies, in exchange for a temporal sacrifice here on earth. So God gives each of us a talent. And let's just say for a moment that this talent is our life. And He's asking us to trade with it. He's asking us to multiply it. He's asking us to work in His kingdom with it, to expand His kingdom. And if we are found faithful in so doing, then there remains for us a blessing to inherit, an eternal blessing. Again, that is a good deal. Serve God with your life, your short, fallen, temporary, sin-natured vapor of a life, and in exchange, eternal life. Glorified bodies dwelling with God, full of peace and joy forever. And that's the deal that God wants to make with us. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." That's a good deal. But we can also make bad deals. We can sow to the flesh and reap eternal corruption. We can take that talent that God has given us, and we can simply just disregard it. take it as a light thing. We can live our life for selfish desires. We can live for the pleasures of our flesh, and then we can suffer the consequences later. Judas made a bad bargain. For 30 pieces of silver, he betrayed the Lord. Because of the love of money, he made a decision that he would suffer the consequences after. The title of the message today is A Bad Bargain. And we'll be reading out of the lives of Jacob and Esau. We'll see what we can draw from it. We can see how will we be able to make a bad bargain or a good bargain. And we'll be reading a lengthy portion of scripture, but I trust that the Lord will have a word. Before we get into it, let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you this evening. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity to read out of your word and study your word and be together here, that you have promised that where two or three are gathered, that you are in the midst of us. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings that you promised to all those who serve you. Help us, Father, to serve you with our lives. Help us to be faithful to you and trust you. And Lord, we pray that you would guide and direct each one here and open our hearts and open our minds to receive what you have for us here this evening. We pray in Jesus' precious. So turn with me to Genesis 25. We're going to be reading a lengthy portion of scripture here. It's going to be Genesis 25, a little bit out of Genesis 26, and most of Genesis 27. But we're going to get the whole of the story of Jacob and Esau, and then we're going to try to dissect it and draw something out of it for us. Genesis 25, starting at verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be greater than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days were to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, they were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with some of that red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore his name called Edom, means red. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Reading on Genesis 26:1-4. We're going to look at the covenant here that God made with Isaac, which he first made with Abraham. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land where I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Now turning to Genesis 27, we're going to read till verse 41. This is where Jacob and Esau make the deal. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son." And he said unto him, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, I pray thee, take thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out of the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be the curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched, and brought him to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. He said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be very my son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are Esau's. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God give thee the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be that everyone that curseth blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise, and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, Where is he that hath taken venison, and brought it me, and I have eaten of all that before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me even also, my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break the yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay Jacob, it says. So there we have the story of Jacob and Esau, the story of where Esau and Jacob made a deal. And on one hand, it was a good deal for Jacob. On the other, it was a bad deal for Esau. And before we want to go into detail what happened there, I want to look a little bit about at the heritage of Jacob and Esau. The heritage of Jacob and Esau. Who were his parents, his grandparents? And I want to say, well, I'll be accurate in saying that Jacob and Esau, they were born into a home that was rich, spiritual. Their grandfather was a mighty man of God, a man full of faith. Abraham was their grandfather. And Abraham proved himself over and over again, time and time again, that he had faith in his God. And God blessed him. And God blessed him with the promise that he would inherit all the land of Canaan, and that through his descendants, that's through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. This was Esau and Jacob's grandfather. Now, how will all the nations of the earth be blessed through Abraham if he doesn't have a son? Well, God promised a son. God promised him that he would have a child through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And this was Isaac. Abraham was 99 years old or 100. I said 100 before. I'm not sure if it's 99 or 100. But he was 100 years old when that promise was fulfilled. Abraham begat Isaac, that special baby boy. Now the promise that God had given to Abraham would be passed down to him. And that's what we read in Genesis 26, 3-4, how God did pass that blessing down to Isaac. And Isaac was also a faithful man of God. When Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah because God told him to, I believe Isaac could easily have resisted Abraham. Abraham would have been about 115 to 120 years old. Isaac would have been in the prime of his life. He would have been from 15 to 20 years old. He could have resisted the old man. But Abraham, God was confident that Abraham would raise his family for it, right? And Abraham did. And maybe Abraham, we know that Abraham believed that God would now raise up Isaac. And maybe Abraham was able to explain to Isaac, this is what God is asking. Put your faith in. He will raise you up. I don't know what exactly happened. But Isaac did not resist. He was a faithful man. God blessed Abraham with Isaac, who was also a faithful. And what happened there? As Abraham was about to make that sacrifice, Isaac, being well of age to remember, he's seen what happened. An angel came and stopped God and he provided a sacrifice, a ram. And he said, "Now I know that you are faithful. Now I know that you believe me." Isaac, being in his youth, That came with him for whole life. He's seen how the Lord rescued him. Now Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, knowing all along that one day he would have a child through whom the promises would be fulfilled. He would have a child through whom the covenant that God made to Abraham, then made to Isaac, now that would be made to one of his sons. 40 years old, he gets married, and Rebekah is barren for 20 years. So for 20 years, she can't have a child. And so Isaac entreats the Lord for her sake. And I don't believe that Isaac was worried. Rebekah was barren for 20 years, and I don't think Isaac was concerned about it. I think Isaac still believed that God would provide a son. All the nations of the earth would be blessed, and it would be from his descendants. But for her sake, Rebekah's sake, he does. He entreats the Lord for her, and God is entreated, and then she becomes pregnant with twins, Jacob and Esau. And Esau and Jacob, in the womb already, they're battling. And we're going to talk a little bit about the characters of Jacob and Esau. The characters that I see are very similar characters, flesh and the spirit, contrary, always battling, always fighting. And Esau and Jacob, I see a picture, and we'll look into it. So Esau comes out full of hair, and Jacob comes out right after, holding Esau's heel. Now, naturally speaking, Esau came out first. So who does the birthright belong? It belongs to Esau. And we remember what God said to Rebekah. He told Rebekah that the elder would serve the younger. And I believe Isaac knew that very well too. And I stress that right now because we're going to talk about it a little bit later, why Isaac wept bitterly, or why Isaac trembled exceedingly, sorry. But I believe Isaac knew it. And we know Rebekah knew it. God told Rebekah that the elder will serve the younger. But nonetheless, Esau was the firstborn, and the birthright belonged to Esau. And as long as he had the birthright, it was expected that Esau would not only inherit a double portion of his father's wealth, but that after Isaac died, Esau would be held responsible to take the spiritual lead in the family. And so the promises that God made to Abraham, which he fulfilled through Isaac, should now, naturally speaking, be fulfilled through Esau. Can you imagine having such an enormous promise or having the right to receive such an enormous blessing? Should I remind you that for those of you who have received Christ, we have received a birthright. And along with the birthright comes an enormous blessing. The blessing of inheriting the kingdom of God. The blessing of being called the children of God. Birthright and blessings are tied together. If we are God's child, there comes a time when we will receive the blessing. And let's not take our birthright lightly, because as soon as we do, we are at risk of selling our birthright for a bowl of soup. Esau lost his blessing because he didn't care for it. But birthright and blessing are tied together. God will not give the blessing to someone who does not have the God won't give the blessing to someone who despises the birthright. And we know Esau despised the birthright. Look at a little bit of the characteristic of Esau. I mentioned before that Esau is a picture of the flesh. And I'll explain that here. And I believe that Esau is a clear picture of the man of the flesh. We don't read much for spiritual qualities about Esau at all. He was a man of physical qualities. Even as a baby, he came out with hair all over. You know, mothers would boast about it when their baby comes out with a full set of hair, right? It shows maturity. It shows a healthy baby. It shows something good. Well, imagine your baby came out completely, like it was a strong physical baby. And the name Esau actually means completely formed or having hair already. So Esau was, physically speaking, a strong and healthy baby. And he grew up to be a strong young man, an athletic young man. He became a very skillful hunter. So much so that Isaac loved Esau for it. Isaac loved him more than Jacob, because Esau would go into the fields and Esau would go hunting and he would bring back tasty meat for his father. And Esau gained his father's favor by it. But Esau was a short-sighted man. He lived for the here and now. He might have had the motto, if it feels good, do it. A worldly motto, a worldly mindset. And people with this type of a mentality, they don't think about the consequences that will come after. They don't think about the consequences of their decisions. And then they make decisions based on their own desires. They make decisions based on the flesh of what pleases them, based on selfishness. And they don't consider the consequences, although consequences will come. One example where we can see that Esau was a fleshly man was that Esau married Canaanite women. They were heathenish women. They were ungodly women. Well, why does a man who grew up under the strong influences of God, strong godly influences of Abraham and Isaac and Rebekah and Sarah, why does he desire ungodly women? Genesis 26 says, 34 says that Esau's wives were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. Yeah, I think this shows us a little bit about Esau's character. Esau had zero respect for God, zero respect for Isaac and Rebekah. And in Hebrews 12:16, it says, it warns us not to be fornicators or profane as Esau was. And maybe this is an example of why Esau was called a fornicator. You know, when I devoted my life to the Lord, there came a time when I sought a wife. And I knew that without a shadow of a doubt, I did not want a heathenish woman. I wanted a woman who loved God. I wanted a woman who would be able to bless and support my love for God. We could work together. And I think that's natural for a man who fears God and loves God, that he will naturally seek a woman who he knows fears God and loves God. But the opposite is also true. The fact that Esau married two ungodly Canaanite women shows us something about his character. He was an ungodly man. He did not care for God's blessings in his life. He didn't care for God's blessings in his marriage. He didn't care for raising a godly seed. And therefore, God would make sure that the promises of a godly seed would not come. The promise that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him would not come to Esau. When I was studying the life of Jacob and Esau, I realized that a lot of preachers, a lot of people will take this topic and they'll use it to prove their predestination theories. And I don't know, I see it different. Esau made decisions that God would not bless. And although God prophesied it or told Rebecca that this would happen. He can still make that, he can still foreknow. And I believe Esau is responsible. Esau is responsible for the decisions he made, and the consequences would follow based on what Esau's decision. I see two things here about Esau's decision to sell his birthright. Well, he made a bad decision based on fleshly desires. When he sold his birthright, that scenario, when he came up to his brother Jacob, he came from hunting out of the fields. I don't know exactly what happened, but he came back faint, and he seen a bowl of red soup that Jacob was making, and he desired it so bad. And Jacob made a deal with him that he couldn't resist. And I want to remind us that Isaac was a very wealthy man. Esau's father Isaac was so wealthy that when he was in Philistine, in the land of the Philistines, that the king Abimelech told him to move away because he was mightier than Abimelech in wealth and in possessions. So move away from us. You're becoming stronger than us. This was Esau's father. Was there not food to be found elsewhere? I think he could have gone a little further and gotten plenty of food. But he cared so little about his birthright, the birthright that belonged to him, the huge privilege that belonged to him. Esau didn't care about it, that he would just sell it. In the New Testament, we see Esau despised his birthright because he sold it. He sold it because he despised it. He didn't care for it. He didn't care about spiritual matters. He was a fleshly man. He didn't care about the God of his grandfather Abraham. He didn't care about the God of his father Isaac. He didn't care for it. He despised his birthright. He esteemed it lightly, and the consequences of his bad decision would follow after. Something I want to draw out of that is that sometimes children are raised in God-fearing homes, raised in Christian homes, and yet they despise Christianity. And I don't think that it's always the parents' fault. I don't think that it's always the parents' fault when a child turns to the desires of his flesh or her flesh and rejects the things of God that were taught. I think there comes a time in a child's life when they become accountable to God for their decisions. Esau was 15 years old when he made the decision to sell his birthright, and God honored it. Esau was 15. You might ask, how do I get that? Well, if Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born, and Isaac was 60 when Jacob and Esau were born, that means Abraham was 160. And Abraham died at 175, so there remains 15 years, and it was immediately after Abraham's death where this birthright exchange happened. So if you study it, you'll find out that Esau was 15. Jacob and Esau were young men when they made this decision, and God honored it. Something I want to draw out of that is that I want to speak a little bit to the young people, and I know we as elder people, we can draw from it too, and I want us all to pay attention. But those ages are the teen years, could I say. Crucial, crucial years. And if you find yourself in this time frame, consider what I'm about to share. If you're anywhere in the teen years, you are entering into a stage of accountability before God. And God will start honoring your decisions, whether they're good or bad. You know, it's so easy to see the light in a young person's eyes go off or on. But when a child comes up, growing up in innocency, and there becomes a time when that child is old enough where he needs to make be accountable to God, no longer to the parents, well, there becomes an accountability there. And you cannot have peace anymore by talking to your parents about it, but you need to be right with it. And when that isn't right with God, you see a light go off. I can spend 10 to 20 minutes in a group of young boys, and I can tell you three things within that time. One, I can tell you who's doing good spiritually. I can tell you who's doing good spiritually because they have peace. They're not awkward. They're willing to talk to men of God. It's very clear. I can tell you who's not doing good spiritually, who's doing bad spiritually. They'll zip it as soon as you come or whatever, and as soon as you're gone, you know, you can see it very quickly. And then I can tell you who's struggling spiritually. And I want to encourage those who are struggling. And I want to encourage you by saying it's not a bad thing to struggle. What's happening and why you're struggling is because you're becoming a man and you're becoming a woman and your flesh is getting stronger and its desires are getting stronger. And as the flesh gets stronger, the spiritual man within you tells you that the desires of the flesh are wrong, and then there's a battle. That's the struggle. there's a flesh and spirit within you that are contrary one to another. Therefore, you cannot do the things that there's a battle going. When we say somebody is struggling, we're saying they're battling. It's not wrong to battle. And I would encourage you to keep battling. There's two things you can do to stop the struggle within your soul, and they're polar opposite things. You can yield wholly to the flesh, or you can yield wholly to the spirit. You can live to please yourself. You can live to please your fleshly desires. You can live to please the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And that will take care of the spiritual struggle within your soul, as long as you give yourself to. Because you've chosen a way. You're no longer battling between one or the other. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose. Make a choice. That's what Esau did. I don't think Esau struggled daily with his flesh. With the flesh and the spirit. He didn't struggle because he pushed the things of God that he knew from his own conscience, that he knew from what his grandfather Abraham told him, and his grandmother Sarah, and his father Isaac, and his mother Rebecca. All those things, all that influence of God that he had been brought up under, he pushed them to the side. He wanted none of it. And he purposed to live for himself, and he did what he wanted to do. And he gave himself to it. And he chose a direction, and he didn't struggle with it. He chose a bad direction, but I don't believe there was a struggle. Now, I would not encourage any one of us to take that direction. I will just give you the example of what you can do and can't do, and then you make the decision. And the other thing you can do is, to get rid of the struggle within your soul, is to yield your life to the Spirit. Wholly yield your life to the Spirit. You young people who are maturing, you're becoming young men, you're becoming young women. You are about to find out how strong your fleshly desires really are. And you will also find out that you are utterly weak to resist. I cannot tell you how many times I tried to resist my own evil desires and come short over and over again. Until one day, I realized that I can't resist them. I realized that it was impossible for me in my own strength to resist my own sinful desires. Though within my heart, within my mind, I desired to with everything I had. I was struggling spiritually. If you're at a place of struggling, keep fighting and make a good decision. Give your life to the Lord. I had exhausted myself mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And finally, one day, I just surrendered it. I surrendered to God my life, sins and all. And I remember praying, God, save me from myself. Save me from my own desires. I know that you've given me a freedom to choose, but I don't want to choose because when I choose, I go the wrong direction. And I asked God, and I chose to let God choose. If God was going to give me the freedom of choice, then I chose to let God choose. And I just surrendered everything because I had tried everything in my own strength to be a good man, to resist my own sinful desires, and I failed. And I tell you, that night, bondages of sin were broken. Bondages from the age of 14 to 22 that I had, they were broken in one night. And it wasn't because I tried so hard to become a good man, but it was because God came and helped me. It's because I had been resisting the Spirit. I had been trying in my own flesh, and now I surrendered everything to the Spirit. I gave it to God, and He came and helped me. And He had mercy on this sinful man, and He gave me the strength to... He gave me the strength to overcome this man of flesh. Romans 7:18 says, For I know that in me and in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I don't know. So young people, you are maturing, you guys are becoming young men and young women. The secret to end the struggle within your soul is to surrender, either to the flesh or to the spirit. Now to surrender to the flesh would be like what Esau did. You would be trading an eternal inheritance for a bowl of soup. I would not encourage you to do that. And later on, when it came to receiving the blessing, Esau didn't get it. And Esau wept bitterly when he didn't get it. That's when he realized that he had made a foolish mistake. But it's too late. You can't reverse it. You know, Esau did it so lightly. He made the mistake in his young age. He made the mistake. He traded his birthright. And the Bible says he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. He didn't think about it again until right now. He didn't think about it until the day came when he would face the consequence. And then he wept bitterly. How many people are going to weep bitterly on that day? Every sinner who rejects the things of God will one day realize that they made a foolish choice. They will realize that the blessings and the birthright are tied together. You can't have the blessings if you don't have the birthright. Now, to surrender to the Spirit would be like what Jacob did. He traded a bowl of soup, and in return, he got an eternal. I mean, that might not be the best picture, but you can equate that. Trade a temporary physical thing for an eternal blessing. You know, who got the better deal, Jacob or Esau? I titled the message A Bad Bargain, but if we look at it from Jacob's side, he actually got a great bargain. A bowl of soup to receive the larger part of his father's inheritance. A bowl of soup to receive the promise of to receive the promised land of Canaan and to receive the blessings of God. When it came time for Isaac to give the blessing, Jacob was actually surprised to receive it. He knew he had the birthright. He remembered the deal he made with his brother. The birthright was now his. But yet when it came time to receive the blessing from Isaac, he hesitated. It's almost like it was too good to be true. He didn't feel worthy. You know, I know he got it in a bit of a sneaky way, but the birthright was his. And I believe if Esau would have got the blessing, then Esau would have stolen it from Jacob. I don't think Jacob stole the birthright from Esau. It was his. And therefore, the blessing belonged to him. God knew it. Rebekah knew it. Jacob knew it. And I believe Isaac knew it too, even though he tried to reverse it and give the blessing to Esau. Why do you think Isaac trembled so bad after Esau came in and wanted to receive the blessing after he had just given it to Jacob? Isaac knew what God had told Rebekah, that the elder shall serve the younger. Isaac knew that Esau was a man of fleshly desires, and that he cared little for the things of God, and that he married ungodly women against God's will and against his parents' will. Isaac knew that Esau cared little about his birthright, and that he was willing to sell it for a bowl of soup. And Isaac knew that this man shouldn't inherit that type of a blessing. But yet Isaac loved Esau, and so he tried to reverse the birthright blessing. And I think when Isaac realized that although he had tried to bless Esau, he had actually blessed Jacob, he realized that that was God's doing. And that's why he trembled. The birthright belonged to Jacob. And that's why, he was surprised, it was his. The birthright belonged to Jacob, and God made sure that he got the blessing. For all of us listening, young men and women especially, if you're struggling, surrender. Just surrender. You're struggling because you're not surrendered. One way or the other. Is there a struggle going within your soul? Surrender it. Yield it to the Spirit. Ask God to help you. Ask Him to guide you. Make a deal with God. It is a small thing to exchange a physical sacrifice for an eternal blessing and an eternal inheritance. I want to share now a little bit about the life of Jacob. And when I share about the life of Jacob, I want us to look at Jacob in a positive way. I want us to look at him. I know a lot of times we look at Jacob and we remember the bad things about him. We say, oh, Jacob was a deceiver. He lied to his father. He took advantage of his brother. He stole the blessing. And all these things, these are like preconceived things that we have in our mind. And although some of it might be true, I want us to think about what the blessing that Isaac had put on Jacob, that those that bless you, I will bless. Those that bless you will be blessed first. And let's try to get ourselves to see Jacob in a positive light. He was a patriarch. Let's take this negative image out of our mind and replace it with a positive. And the first thing I'll ask is it not an honorable thing to strongly desire the blessings of God in our lives? Jacob, knowing of God through his God-fearing parents and grandparents, strongly desired. He knew of the covenant that was going to be passed down to either him or Esau, and he strongly desired to be that descendant through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And I believe his desire was more towards the spiritual part, the spiritual blessings, and not so much the physical double inheritance that he would receive, but he was a spiritual man. He desired the things of God. I don't think he was that concerned about the physical double inheritance. And another thing we want to look at is that Jacob knew his brother Esau didn't care about the birthright. Why would Jacob even attempt to give such a lowball offer to Esau in exchange for his birthright? And I believe it's because probably throughout the lives of young Esau and Jacob, Jacob having a desire to have a birthright as Esau did, he'd probably look at Esau and see, this man really doesn't even care that he has the... And I bet that if an opportunity arises, I could probably sell it or exchange it or buy it or receive it somehow. And so Jacob saw that Esau didn't want. And Jacob had already knew, another thing we can look at is Jacob already knew that what God had said to Rebecca. Jacob was a plain man. He dwelled in tents. And I believe he would have spent a lot of time with his mother. And his mother, I'm sure, would have told him, although the Bible doesn't tell us this, but his mother would have told him about what God had told him, that the elder will serve. Rebecca told Jacob, and Jacob knew what God had said to Rebecca. And I see Jacob as a man who is a bit like us. Yeah, he made his mistakes. No, he wasn't perfect. Yeah, he might have lied a few times or cheated a few people in his lifetime, but his desires were for God. And he pursued the God of his fathers until he received what he was looking for. You know, after Jacob had deceived or received the blessing from his father Isaac, Esau was so angry with him that he planned on slaying Jacob after Isaac had passed away. And so Jacob fled to his uncle Laban's house. And on his way there, Jacob had a dream of a ladder. And the ladder went up to heaven, and the angels were going up and down on it. And at the top of the ladder was the Lord, and he's standing at the top of the ladder. And Jacob received the blessing that he desired. I want to read it out of Genesis 28, verses 13 to 15. I'll just read it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken. Jacob received the blessing. I believe this is what Jacob desired, that God's favor would be upon his life, and that he would be the man through whom all the nations of the earth be blessed. And Jacob was a man of God. He pursued the God, and God blessed. You know, what can we do with the life of Jacob? I think we can learn more than just, the negative things we see. He wasn't a perfect man, but his heart was after God. And God had made a covenant with him that now through him and through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And through him, Jesus Christ, our Savior, although conceived of the Holy Spirit, now came through the lineage of Jacob. And now we can receive a birthright through faith in Jesus Christ that entitles us to inherit the promised land, the promised land of Canaan, a birthright that entitles us to be a child of God. And let's not take that lightly. God wants to make a deal with us, a good bargain. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So let's sow to the Spirit, not to the flesh. That way we may reap everlasting life, not eternal corruption. And let's embrace the birthright that belongs to the children of God. And let's not sell it for a bowl of soup. We'll leave it there, and may God add his blessing. Thank you.